Hello and welcome to the Upstreet podcast. A few weeks ago, I talked about English alphabet poems, and one example illustrated how pronunciation and grammatical ambiguity can produce double meanings, with comic effect. This characteristic of language actually has practical teaching implications. A language like Spanish, where the words are pronounced as they are written, produces a tendency to apply the same logic to English, thus chocolate rather than chocolate. I sometimes teach my students to make visual associations with certain words, thus observatory, usually pronounced observatory, becomes look at a tree, observe a tree. Unfortunately, this doesn't always work. Lavatory doesn't lend itself to the same method. But the fact the word can be understood differently gives us a useful memory tool. The same playfulness, this implies, has attracted the attention of many writers. Lewis Carroll's Mock Turtle says his teacher was an old sea turtle called Tortoise. And when Alice asks him why he was called Tortoise if he was a turtle, the Mock Turtle answers, "We called him Tortoise because he taught us." The way a noun can change to verbs and vice versa opens up these playful possibilities. As I mentioned in that alphabet podcast, pronunciation weak forms help us a lot. So us can often become us, and for, f. The children's book author Norman Hunter took advantage of this in applying his comic imagination to words and took full advantage of such sound and spelling ambiguities. Best known for his Professor Brainstorm character, a mad professor who constantly gets himself into complicated situations, Hunter also created a number of spin-offs. My personal favourite is his dictionary, and I'd like to share a selection of its entries with you. So from Professor Brainstorm's dictionary, we get words like this with their definitions: emulate, meaning Emma, you are late. Elliptical, a kiss. You have to think about that one for a moment. Elliptical, well, I'm sure you get it. Carnation, a race of people who live in cars. Catastrophe. The pussy has a challenge cup. Catastrophe. Well, okay, catastrophe. Abundance. This is a waltz for cakes. Adverse. Stick on some poetry. Jargon. The vase is no longer here. Parsimony. Hand over the cash. And thinking, a very skinny monarch, you know, a thin king. Well, anyway, you kind of get it. So this wonderful book, which is full of these, and I could go on for hours, but you'll stop listening if I do, is a great example of playing with these sounds of words. When I mentioned Lewis Carroll earlier, it was partly to set this kind of wordplay within its nonsense poetry context. After all, what could be sillier than the idea that the same word can mean completely different things? Surely, the whole basis of communication is our ability to understand what someone else is talking about. Nonsense writing is far more than just playing with words. It actually exposes the fragility of anything we say or share, the uneasy conspiracy of assumptions that allows us to inhabit the illusions that we see things more or less the same way as others. For that way madness lies. I found a fascinating bridge between Victorian nonsense and modernist poetry in an early T.S. Eliot poem called Lines to a Yorkshire Terrier. Firstly, the title, a poem addressed to a little dog. Then in the poem, his use of words like Jellicle and Pollicle, which are pure nonsense words, invented, only given meaning by their grammatical position as adjectives. And finally, his play with the word pause, a homophone that means both a delay and the front or prior feet of a dog. In addition, Eliot weaves Shakespeare's wonderful poem, Fear No More the Heat of the Sun, into this short lyric. Having taken Shakespeare's poem to three funerals in recent years, is a very personal reminder of how brief and transitory any meaning is, whether we couch it in complexity or see it as a little piece of nonsense in the cosmic dark. T.S. Eliot's Lines to a Yorkshire Terrier. In a brown field stood a tree, and the tree was crooked and dry. In a black sky from a green cloud, natural forces shrieked aloud, screamed, rattled, muttered endlessly. Little dog was safe and warm, under a crit on eiderdown. Yet the field was cracked and brown, and the tree was cramped and dry. Pollicle dogs and cats all must, Jellicle cats and dogs all must, like undertakers come to dust. Here, a little dog, I pause, heaving up my prior paws, pause and sleep endlessly. If you were, thank you for listening.